I went to Texas, to a city by the name of Conroe, Texas. People were really great, very nice people. But moreover, the Lord was great there. He's a good God. The Lord spoke to me before I went to Texas. He spoke to me about the days in which we are living. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the last days. So please turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. I love it that God is boss. It feels so safe. It doesn't feel safe when we think about man's plans. But it feels wonderfully safe when we remember he's in control. Okay, I'd like you to write this down. We are going to enter into the season of six, or you might say the fullness of man. You might also say that it is the day of the Antichrist. The Antichrist must come because he is the ultimate depiction of man in full rebellion. And man must see what he is in himself. So, the Antichrist must come because without the work he does, man will never see the ultimate of who he is and what the government of man means. He must come. He is not only God's wrath, but he is a statement to us. So we're going to go through the season of, you might say, the fullness of man. Then there is going to be a massive and dreadful war. So great will this war be that it's going to seem like all nations in the earth have joined it. I'm not saying that all nations will join it. I'm saying it will seem that way because of the greatness and the dreadfulness of this war. Then Christ will return for his church. Yeah, there will be those who will be saying, so what took you so long? So we're going to be here for a while. And we're going to be here for a while through a rather rough ride. But God will keep his church. Let's look at Daniel 9:27. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the covenant, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, I have sensed for a very long time, just because of different visions that I've had, you know, sometimes it's difficult to put it all together and set it up in a nice, neat little package so you understand everything with great clarity. And sometimes you just really have to wait a long time on the Lord to get the kind of clarity you need, especially if you're going to share it with people. So he has shown me many, 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 many things that I've never shared from the pulpit. and won't until I can give it to you with a clarity so that it doesn't bring confusion. But I've sensed for many, many long years that we are first going to see a war with Israel. The Arab nations must arise against Israel because it's in the Word. And this war between Israel and the Arab nations is going to incite a lot of different things in people. One of the things that I believe will come out of it is that the world will at that point say, Israel, okay, go ahead and build your temple. There's going to be a lot of damage in the Arab nations, but also a lot of damage in Israel. I've seen visions where Damascus, for instance, was, oh boy, a desolate ruin. I mean, it was horrible what I saw. It broke my heart. And Israel was shut off for a while. You couldn't get information into Israel. You couldn't get information out of Israel. And those of us who were Jewish, you know, there was a lot of concern. I'm sure that the church also was very concerned, but in this vision, God was concentrating on Jewish people. So those of us who were outside of Israel were very concerned for those who were inside of Israel, not knowing who made it, who didn't make it, how bad the damage was inside of the nation, and so on. But out of this war, my sense is, when I say my sense, this is what I perceive based on what I've heard and seen. If I say to you, the Lord said, now it's not perception. It's not what I sense anymore. God has said this, and this is what I'm relaying to you. So my sense is that out of this war will come a momentary reprieve from the hostility of the nations, and they will say, Israel, okay, go ahead and build your temple. Because you see, Israel has to build this temple. The Antichrist will come and want to set up his throne in this temple. And he can't set up a throne in a temple that doesn't exist. So Israel has to build this temple. So as we're looking at the end days, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that there are certain sequential events that have to occur before it's all over. And as long as we're not seeing that, then we're not quite there yet. Israel must build its temple. But out of this war, one will arise, and Paul said that he would make himself known with great signs and wonders. He will come with great signs and wonders, so much so that it will grab the attention of peoples throughout the world. But I want to start tonight on who is bringing forth the Antichrist, and who is it that he is working with to confirm himself with, to confirm covenants with, and so on and so forth. Elizabeth, put up the PowerPoint on the banking elite. I want you to know, through some visions that I've seen, there was a woman, I can't remember her name now, but I just remember reading the word a few years ago. It said God was going to raise up, and she said, I think she called I think she called it the Enoch Company. I don't know why she gave it that name, but that God was going to raise up a people that he would take behind, you might say, enemy lines, where they would go into secret meetings that were being conducted, and that they would be given privileged information on what was transpiring in these meetings to bring it back to the church. And the reason I remember this prophetic word, whoever she was, she's someone that was highly respected in the body of Christ. But the reason I remember that word is because at the time that she gave it and I read it, I said to one of my colleagues, I said, boy, that sounds like you and me, because that was happening to us quite a bit, where we were being taken into boardroom meetings of the elite, and we were allowed to hear what they were saying and what their plans were. And then we, you know, we'd bring it back to the team, share with them what we saw and what we heard, and then we would see it start to unfold according to what we had heard. During that period of time, the Lord showed me a man who was wanting to come forward and present himself as the answer to the world. And one of these senior elite went to him and said to him, we're working hard to prepare the way for you, but the time is not yet. We need to spend more time preparing, gaining more authority, gaining more power. There must be more bloodshed. We're trying, we're working hard to prepare the way, but it's just not time yet. Just give us time. And it was like he was pushing hard for them to get their business done so he could come forth and do his business. And I saw three scenes, and through each scene, I saw this huge, python moving in and out of, you know, from one scene to the next, to the next. And in the third scene, someone was standing next to me and said, what is that python? What is it doing? And I said, that python is looking for its nest, because it wants to go back under until it can gain more authority and more power to come forth. So I knew by that they're working feverishly. Also, I was taken into another meeting where I saw men dressed in black. It was like a ritual meeting, and very, very powerful men. They had not yet done a ritual, but they were there in the house meeting to do some ritual. Very powerful men. And I heard one of the more powerful men say to the others, we must speed up time. There is an impatience here, and we must speed up time. We've got to start looking for ways to pass more laws to break down the American stability. We've got to look for more court cases to destroy through the court system. We've got to work harder in the schools to take any sign of innocence, righteousness. I can't remember the word that he used, but we've got to work harder to get that out of the schools and get our program into the schools so that we can train them harder from very young. And I told my leadership, I said, there's going to be a great speeding up of things. Laws passed to break down America's safety network. I didn't know necessarily that they were going to be working against the Constitution as hard as they are, although the Lord did speak to me during that time in a vision and told me to start praying hard for the Constitution because their goal was to destroy it. But at that time, I thought most of the laws were being set in motion just to put their one world government. And so I'm sharing with my leadership what I had seen and what I heard. And boy, if that hasn't proven out to be true, I don't know what has. It has been astounding, even to me, what they have done since that time. I also saw that they wanted to break down and destroy the family. And boy, they're working overtime on that as well. So all of these things are happening to make the way for the Antichrist. That's the purpose of it all. They're wanting to break down America's sovereignty so that the Antichrist can take his rightful place on the world throne. Do you have that ready? Lovely picture. Well, we all know who this guy is, right? President Obama's foreign policy advisor, Brzezinski. He's been in many different places, many different seats of authority. He is a member of the Knights of Malta, member of Bilderberg Group, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Please write these names down. Keep them near your Bible so you can be praying over this. Member of the Trilateral Commission, advisor of the Jesuit Georgetown University, the Polish Roman Catholic Socialist, that's what he is, communist, avowed, professor at Columbia University, New York, recruiter of Barry Sotero, 1981 creator of Barack Hussein Obama. And who is he with? The Illuminati. He doesn't necessarily come across as a very powerful man, but he is probably one of the most powerful men in America. Next. Now we have the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. This institution, what you have, go to the next one for a second. Okay, first of all, you have the Federal Reserve. You all know about that. I think most or all of you know how dangerous it is, right? As long as this institution has free hand in America, America has no hope. It will fall to the plan of the Illuminati because this is the key. The Federal Reserve. It seems innocent enough, and because the name Federal is on it, it makes everyone think that it's like a governmental institution, but it's no more governmental than FedEx. It's not a government institution. In fact, they've got everything situated in such a way that it's almost impossible to get any government control over it. They have wanted an audit. Our government has asked for an audit of this institution so many times in the 1900s, and we cannot get it. If we ever got it, the American people would say, get it out of here. Incidentally, I don't know if you know this or not, but please let me tell you, President Kennedy, who really is from one of the Illuminati families, when he got into the presidency and he saw how powerful the Federal Reserve was and its position in this nation and its power to destroy America, he understood the goals of the Federal Reserve, the elite who run the Federal Reserve. He said, I'm getting it out of America. I am going to shut it down if it's the last thing I do. And they killed him. That's why he was killed. Because he sought to come against this institution. It is, you know, it is owned by the elite. And not all of these elite are Americans. They're the international banking elite. It's a very dangerous institution. It was put here not to build. Please hear what I'm saying. It was put here not to build America's economy, to destroy it. Next, the World Bank. After the Federal Reserve is the World Bank. Now, they make the World Bank seem almost angelic whenever they talk about it on the news. It is the great deliverer of the nations. Have any of you heard that kind of rhetoric? It is incredible the way they present this institution. The truth is, this bank has been used by the elite to destroy the nations. They tell the nations, we will give you money. And then they charge them interest rates of such a nature that make it impossible for the nation to pay the money back. But they put them, if they send in their cronies, you might say, to work a plan to force the nation into a place where it feels a desperate need for the money. They can't survive without the loan, but the interest rate will kill them. And they will force them to take world seeds, S-E-E-D-S, world seeds that have been modified to destroy the soil, so that the farmers, when they use these seeds, are actually destroying what was once fertile soil. And the seeds are genetically modified so that they cannot reproduce. They cannot reproduce, meaning you have to buy new seeds every year. And by the third year, usually, your once healthy soil is destroyed. And this is what they force the nations to take all over the world. I could go on and on. I could make a night of just doing nothing but talking about the World Bank. Our team went into this institution, and while we were in D.C., sat down, and we asked the Lord to speak to us. The Spirit of Revelation came upon us, and we began to feel the heartbeat, the throbbing, pulsating heartbeat of the World Bank. We could hear the plans and purposes of the World Bank, what they were doing in different nations, where they were going, and how they were getting there. It was an amazing experience, but it was like being in the worst cesspool of danger you can possibly imagine. It was really fearful. Not a nice place to be. There are a lot of good people that work at the World Bank that have no idea what this institution is about. If you're not part of the elite, you don't know. But thank God, there's enough information now. With the Freedom of Information Act, there's enough information now that many books have been written. Information on the internet is replete with the kind of stuff that they do and are, that I suppose anyone, if they really wanted to find out, could. But there are a lot of good people that work at the World Bank. It's just that the institution in itself, at the head, is diabolical. And they govern the Federal Reserve-type institutions throughout the world. Above them, go back to the IMF, please. Above them is the International Monetary Fund. So they govern the World Bank, who governs the Federal Reserve. So if the Federal Reserve was put in this nation to destroy it, what does that tell you about the World Bank, who governs it? I'm going to test you on this. It tells you that the World Bank is evil. Isn't that simple? Now, if the IMF governs the World Bank, what does that tell you about the IMF? Right, and if the child is evil, how much more evil is the adult? It is a very, very evil organization. And above the IMF, next, next, next. Oh, you guys all know these people lately, right? Goldman Sachs. They've been in the news, the headlines, a lot lately. Ah, and above them is the Bank for International Settlements. Now, the Bank for International Settlements, or the BIS, will be the head of the octopus in the days of the Antichrist. All other banking systems will be enfolded into the BIS. And right now, the BIS is the chief of them all. Now, if this is true, what does that tell you about the BIS? More evil than all the rest. This is the heartbeat of the Illuminati. Why am I telling you this? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 6. We'll just leave this up here for a few minutes. You know, write this down because I want you guys to start praying. I want you to pray that God will intervene against these giants. They're too big for man, but they're not too big for God. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist. Notice he has a bow, but no arrow. Yet, he has a crown, and he is conquering. How is a man given to war conquering without war? How can that be? Have you ever thought about that? May I tell you how? Would you like to know? I just showed you. He is conquering through the economic structure of the world. When the elite, go to the big families of the Illuminati for a moment. Okay, I told some of you before that Rothschild, the Rothschild family, has half of the world's wealth. Now, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be the person with half of the world's wealth? That means all the rest of the Illuminati families, you, me, and the rest of the world has the other half. One man, one family has half of the world's wealth. I mean, doesn't that make you go, or doesn't it compel any kind of emotion at all? To me, this is very big. Half of the world's wealth. One family. So I wondered, how does one family make so much money that he owns half of the world's wealth? Now think about, you know, one of the richest institutions in the world is the Catholic Church. They are part of the other half. Another major institution, very wealthy, is the Mormon Church. They are part of the other half. This one family has half, have I made my point, has half of the world's wealth. So I asked the Lord, how does one family have half the world's wealth? How? And while I'm praying in this way, suddenly a red circle appears, 3D, out here beside me. And this red circle, I watch it being made in blood. Then a pentagram forms inside the red circle, also made in blood. Then the goat of Mendes appears inside the pentagram. Do you know what the goat of Mendes is? The Baphomet. It is another image of Satan. Appears inside the pentagram. And he says to me, would you like to pour out a drink offering to me, the God of this world? And then he said to me, if you will, I will give you all of the wealth and all of the fame you could ever want. And I saw in an instant, I mean, it's like, you know, scanning the globe, all of this wealth, all of this fame he would give me if I would pour out a drink offering to him. I got so angry. I said, get out of my house. Who gave you permission to come into my house? Get out of here. Get out. And he left. Then I said to the Lord, I was in prayer to you. How could you let him come into my house and give me a proposition like that? He interrupted my time with you. I was really hurt. And I went on and on and on, just musing and complaining and murmuring to the Lord. Why? Why? Finally, the Lord said to me, you asked me to tell you how one man can have half of the world's wealth. So I showed you the difference between you and Rothschild was that Rothschild took his offer. His money was made through corruption. Whatever is corrupt, that's what Rothschild does. Being a banking elite is just a small card on his table. In fact, many of these families, their biggest part of their wealth was gained through corruption. You have the Astors, the Bundys, the Collins. We've got right up there the most powerful in spiritual power. They are the most powerful in the occult of all of the Illuminati families. Very, very wealthy. DuPont, that's a name recognizable, right? Freeman, Kennedy, there's the Kennedy family. Yes, it is the Kennedy family, our very own Kennedy family. So how amazing it is that John F. Kennedy gets into the presidency and he sees two things. Number one, America is being destroyed by the Federal Reserve. Number two, the CIA is as bad a news as any organization can be. And he threatened to shut down both of them. And they killed him. Li, that's a Chinese family from China. Onassis, you all recognize that name, I'm sure. David Rockefeller, how could you live in America and not know who that is? So the Rockefeller family, the Russell family, which is responsible for the Watchtower, and what do they call themselves? Jehovah's Witnesses. So you now know that that church is Illuminati. The Van Dynes, and their name is spelled many different ways. Then in Europe, you have the Black Nobility. And you guys can read all that. You can't read it. Who said that? I don't know how to pronounce it. Chuck, how do you pronounce that?
The M Group.
The M Group. Oh, you can't? It's Merovingian. So they're European elite. Also, members of the Black Nobility, of which includes the Windsor family, which is the Queen of England, and the Queen of the Netherlands. You also have the King of Denmark. You know, a lot of European kings. Also such families as the Reynolds family, the Walt Disney family, the Krupp family, which is German. They highly supported bringing Hitler into power, the McDonald's and the Bilderbergers. Also, the LDS Church is Illuminati created. And then, of course, the Catholic Church, which works hand in hand with the highest Illuminati families. I can't remember, so I'll try to look it up. And I do know the answer to that. I just don't remember it. I'll try to look it up and tell you. But most of these, you can say, is that the... And I would have to say yes, what you think is what it is. You all remember, you know, the Astor Hotels, Astoria, you've heard of Astoria, Oregon, that's the Astor family, DuPont Paints. Well, you know what they are. So these are the Illuminati families, but where you see them and better understand them is go back to the bank situation. Where you see them and better understand them is right here. Do you remember when President Bush, back in our time of great crises, when America was about to lose everything because of our economic crash, and Bush is on national television and he is flanked by the banking elite on either side. And he says to the American public, they, you know, in essence, they are saving us. They are taking over our banking system and they're going to help us get out of this mess. Do you remember that? Go back to the Illuminati families. That's who flanked him. The Illuminati. They created the mess, and they created it to accomplish exactly what was accomplished. How is the Antichrist going to come conquering and to conquer? Go back to the banks. Right there. If you own the banking system of a nation, you own the nation. It's as simple as that. Rothschild himself said, "I care not who makes the laws if I own their banks." Because he knows if he owns the banks, which the Illuminati elite do, all they have to do, well, look at what we've just gone through. All you have to do is appear to be pulling the rug out from under the American people's feet, and they fall all over you like putty if you'll just save them from the catastrophe you created. Today they sit back and they brag. They brag and they laugh at the American people because through our crises that caused so many jobs, so many devastating things occurred, businesses going bankrupt, banks falling left and right. Through our crises, they got $3 trillion of American money. They walked out of our crises very rich. And we were all a little bit poorer for the experience. And probably all connected with the Illuminati. These things are not happening by accident. It is a very thought out, carefully orchestrated plan wherein the Antichrist is going forth conquering and to conquer. Do you remember hearing at all on the news the Prime Minister of Greece speaking to the people of Greece, telling them, we have got to get these draconian laws passed so that we can get Greece back on its feet? And he used the word draconian. And do you remember hearing the same words coming out of Obama? He said the laws that they are passing right now, left and right, he called them draconian laws. Do you know why? Because one of the reigning monarchs of the Illuminati is a spirit called Draco. And they're wanting these draconian laws passed because it is part of destroying the Constitution and restructuring of the nations to come in rank and file into the one world government. Now the Antichrist is not yet going forth conquering and to conquer. What he is doing right now is working with the elite. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's working with the elite. The Illuminati 13 are together holding hands and have been for hundreds of years working toward bringing the Antichrist into his place. That's why they came together, is to bring about a one world government to seat the Antichrist. They actually meet together, if I recall, once every 27 years with Satan himself in a feast called the Feast of the Beast. The families meet together, they hold a ritual feast, and Satan appears to them and gives them directions for the next 27 years. This thing is not being orchestrated by man. It is being orchestrated by Lucifer himself. So the Antichrist, they are preparing for him to come forth, and they're doing it by gaining control of the nations so that when he does come forth, he will pull the strings of the nations through economics. Furthermore, we're going to have this situation where there has been a war, and he will be the man of peace. And because now the nations are in chaos, their motto is something out of chaos. No. Yeah, order out of chaos. That's their motto. They create the chaos to bring forth their order. They create the chaos to bring forth their order. More chaos to bring forth higher order. More chaos to bring forth higher order until their order is set in place in every nation in the earth. Now, I want you to remember everything I said because I'm going to come back to this in just a few minutes. The crown represents the authority that he's given. And Daniel saw that he was given the authority of what? The nations of the earth. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, this is about martyrdom. Martyrdom of the saints. Notice that this horse does not create war, but he takes peace from the earth. And man is left up to his own way. When you see massive bloodshed, I can remember one of the first times that I saw this horse. I was told that there was an uprising stirring under the seas of the world, and it would soon be revealed. And this horse was responsible for taking peace, that we would see this uprising, and it turned out to be Tiananmen Square. And there was a martyr's outpouring at Tiananmen to stop the revolutionaries. But in this case, this horse is going to take peace from the earth, and the Pope, working in conjunction with the geopolitical powers of the world, is going to orchestrate worldwide persecution of the saints. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Several years ago, I don't remember exactly how many years ago, I've got an article about it on my website, but several years ago, I was doing a radio broadcast, being interviewed by a pastor in Portland, Oregon, when suddenly the angel of the Lord came into my room, and as he stood before me, he waved his hand behind himself and opened up the reality of the Spirit to me. And when he did that, the power that was emanating from him was so powerful, it shut down the radio station that I was doing the interview on. So here I am in Fresno, California. He comes into my room, and the power, there was an immediate power blackout at the radio station in Portland, Oregon. This is how powerful God's dignitaries are. And so the pastor hurriedly, you know, called me back, trying to get a hold of me to find out what happened. And I said to him, "I'll have to talk to you in a minute. There's an angel in my room." And I hung up. And I'm supposed to be doing this interview with him, right? But what he called to tell me is that the radio station had lost its power. There was a power blackout. So while all this was going on, this angel showed me the black horse, the coming of the black horse. And this is what it means. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, "A measure of wheat for a penny." The wheat speaks of prayer. And a measure, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And the barley speaks of the word. Now, I'm sure any of you who know your history can remember that there was a time in Catholic history when the word and prayer was entirely in the hands of the priests. You know, a lay person, it was illegal for them to pray. It was illegal for them to even read the word, let alone cite it. In fact, the Bible was written in Latin. Most people couldn't understand it anyway. And they would have to pay for the word and pay for prayer. That time is coming back. This is speaking of a work that is going to happen through the Catholic Church. The Antichrist is a geopolitical leader who was born in Italy and who will rule in the midst of the nations as a geopolitical leader. The false prophet is the Pope of the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church will be responsible under the auspices of this geopolitical leader for the persecution of the saints and also for putting together this one world religion. And in this part of this religion will be that you will have to pay for prayer and the word. And the voice said, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The oil is significant of the life of the Spirit. The wine is the stimulation of revelation. See thou that you hurt not the oil and the wine. So although there is going to be a famine of the true word, in fact, I saw in a vision where my Bible had been into a repair shop to repair, because I'm really hard on my Bibles. I'm just so hard on them. They always fall apart in my hands. So my Bible had been taken to a repair shop, you know, a book repair store. When they handed it back to me, everything that pertained to the Godhead had been removed. Everything that pertained to Christ as Savior, Lord, Messiah had been removed. Anything that spoke of the power of God, you know, for instance, the creation of the earth, the creation of the heavens, all of that had been removed. Anything that spoke of God as being a sovereign had been removed. My Bible had been so altered, it wasn't even a Bible. And I said to the man at the shop, I said, what have you done to my Bible? He said, that is the way it is. And that is how all the Bibles that come off the press will look in this day. Now take it and get out of here. I drove down the street and I saw that the Christian bookstore had been shut down. I saw church after church had been shut down. And all that was left of Christ in this nation was a Bible that had nothing to do with him. Memorize scripture. Get your head in this book and know it. And I can promise you, the only way you can really know it is to live what it says to do. This is one of the reasons why Dr. Chuck is translating a Bible for us. Because I want a Bible that the church can have. And I want a Bible that the church can have free of charge. I want something that no publisher can put their hands on, except us. It will be pure. Very serious days ahead. And I looked. Now these are all the days of the man of six that I just shared with you about the vision. Verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell, and followed with him. And the power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with beast of the earth. This is the great war that I was told about. Death and hell will follow him. One of the things that the elite does, We see examples of it. Do you remember the Chilean earthquake? Someone said that that was like 8-point-something on the Richter scale. And you all remember Haiti, correct? Haiti was an earthquake created by HAARP, HAARP. That is a technology that is run by the elite. It is a weapon of mass destruction. The Chilean earthquake was caused by HAARP. HAARP. Look it up on the internet. In fact, right about that time, there were 4 or 5 earthquakes back to back. Do you remember that? And I can tell you that 4 out of 5 of them were created by HAARP. Great destruction will happen through these weapons of mass destruction. Also, it says that they will kill with sword and with hunger. Another thing that this HAARP machine is capable of doing is creating famine. It can cause hurricanes and it can stop the rain. When you look through the book of Revelation and you see so many awesome catastrophes and you wonder, what is happening to the earth? Why is it suddenly vomiting out its inhabitants? I mean, why does the earth suddenly start having these massive, terrifying earthquakes? Why? Until you understand that an earthquake is an earthquake until HAARP is involved. Then it becomes an earthquake of such measure that it can set the world on a different axis. These machines are very, very powerful. And they're owned by the elite. They're owned by those who are bringing about the New World Order. They're owned by those who work with Lucifer. The Pope, while the world is trying to form the New World Order over here, the Pope has been working for many years to form the One World Religion. He's been meeting with people like the Dalai Lama and different leaders of that sort for years to bring about the One World Religion. And that is going to continue until it is fully in place. The only ones that will not be a part of it are the church and the Jewish people. I mean, you know, Jewish people may not be particularly God-honoring right now. They may not be serving their Messiah at this point in time. But when it comes to, in the case of many Jewish people, when it comes to being told you have to bow down, you know, to their man-made gods, there's a great number of Jewish people that will not do it. Now, granted, part of these elite are also Jews, and they're bowing down to Satan, but there is a great number of Jewish people who will get saved in these last days because they will not go with the system. But because they won't go with the system, their lives will also be in danger. Now, this is where we are in time. The fullness of man and the Antichrist. Then, war. Great and devastating war. And after the war, Christ will come for his church. Because we are going to be here during all of this season, God must do something for his church. He must. If the church is in the condition it's in right now, we won't make it. But he is going to do something. And one of the ways that he's going to do what he's going to do is to send out David's mighty men, or the mighty men of valor, that are going to be powerfully anointed to prepare the church for the yet even higher, and that is for the coming of Melchizedek, the Melchizedek priesthood. And through the Melchizedek priesthood, he will bring to many the perfection of the church. When the church is walking in this maturity and this perfection, she will be overcoming. One of the reasons why this great revival must occur, and why we must continue to keep pressing through. I told you I was going to come back to this in a minute, and now here it is. Why is God sharing this with me? Because this must happen. It's in the Word. It must happen. However, it must happen in God's time and not in man's time. God's time and not in Lucifer's time. If the church does not get on its knees and start praying about this stuff, it will, can, and will happen prematurely. But if you will pray, God will set this plan back because it is not yet time. We really can control this to some degree. I can't tell you that we can set it back for 20 or 30 years. He hasn't told me that. Maybe we can set it back for 3 or 5 years. I don't know. All I know is we can set it back. Maybe we can set it back for 10 years, 15 or 20. I don't know. He hasn't told me that part. All I know is we can set it back. The Illuminati is very powerful, but they're not more powerful than God. They themselves say the thing they fear more than anything else in the earth is the prayers of the saints. They know that if the church will get on its knees and start praying, that God will intervene and interrupt their program. Now, we've been praying over this. God has taken us on a step-by-step path. We began praying and repenting over the outpouring of the Native American, the blood of the Native American people, and all the terrible, terrible things we did to the Native American people when we first came to America. Now, I know some people, even in the church, think we had nothing to pray about. We had nothing to repent over. They needed to be gone because they were idol worshipers. But God didn't see things that way. He saw them in one respect as an innocent people because they had never been given the gospel. Europeans came in. We made covenant after covenant with these people. We broke every covenant. It was just one line of betrayal after another while we slaughtered them in mass across the nation. We had a lot of innocent blood we were guilty for. So Jesus appeared to me and he told me, I am here to identify with the plight of the Native American people, and you must bring this gathering into repentance over the spilling of their blood in the earlier days. So we went through, I think, 2.5 years. I don't remember how long. Repenting over that, as long as it took until the Lord said, sufficient. From the Native American people, we went to the African American people and began to cry and repent over the atrocities of slavery all the way up through the Civil Rights era. Repenting, weeping, wailing over all that the Europeans did on this soil to the African American people, because God asked us to, and he showed us how he saw it, and it wasn't pretty. It was devastating to see how God saw the whole situation. Again, another 2.5 years of repentance. We had much blood to weep over. Do you understand? This nation, at the time that he took us into these intercessions, this nation was doomed for absolute destruction immediately. We had already filled our cup. We emptied it only through repentance. After we repented of the African American people, then the Lord said, that is enough for now. I want you to start repenting over the abortions. So we started looking at abortions and what really happens when a baby is aborted. It is so atrocious. I can remember when my daughter brought the slideshow to the gathering, showing us what happens in an abortion. The whole gathering, I mean, there was like a vomiting of anguish that swept through that gathering, myself included. I had no idea what they did. We wept and wailed and repented and wept and wailed and repented for the shedding of the innocent blood of the unborn. How many of you are aware of all the flooding that is taking place across this nation in the last several months? Even right now, the Lord spoke to me at the end of last year, and he said there's going to be much flooding in America, and I am going to send it as judgment against this nation for the shedding of the unborn, the blood of the unborn. Abortions is what I'm dealing with. Look at 9/11. Look at how many, well, we don't really know how many died. You know, there have been so many fictitious numbers, we really don't know how many died. But the Lord showed me moments before I found out that 9/11 had happened. In a vision, I saw thousands of babies, tiny little babies, unborn babies, and they were crying out in anguish. And I said, Lord, who are these babies? He said, these are the unborn that have been taken, their lives have been taken through abortion. And within minutes, someone knocked on my door and said, turn the television on. I was in Canada at the time. Turn the television on. Look what just happened in America. So I turned the television on, and scenes all over the place of 9/11 that had just happened. And I sat down and I said, my gosh, Lord, what happened? And he said, this is judgment over abortion. We do not know as a nation what we have brought upon ourselves through the shedding of innocent blood. Whether it is the Native American, African American, aborted babies, after we spent a considerable length of time weeping and wailing over the abortion issue, then God moved us on to this issue of human trafficking. And boy, I'll tell you, when you see things from God's perspective, it is so painful. It is devastating. And he began to show us what America was doing in respect to the human trafficking. I won't go there in detail tonight. It's another very painful issue. After we spent time weeping and wailing over that, then the Lord began to speak to us about this dismantling of the nations. America has been responsible for the dismantling of 127 nations in the world. How many souls have been lost? How much blood has been shed in 127 nations? It's without number. We're still not done repenting over that. We're not done repenting over all of this stuff. But we keep repenting. We keep weeping. Someone came up to me and they said, how many times do you have to repent for this? I said, how long do you need to weep to clean up 400 years of bloodshed? If we can please the heart of the Father in 10 or 12 or 15 years of weeping, that is nothing compared to 400 years of bloodshed. I think it's a pretty good deal that he would allow us to do that. That he would take the weeping and the wailing of 200, 300, the largest gathering we've had has only been 500 people. The weeping and the wailing of 300, 400, 500 people, over 400 years of bloodshed, and there's a point where he's going to say, enough, now I can pour out my glory. He said to me, cover the land with tears. Cover the nation with tears. You weep, and you weep as long as you need to weep. And when you have wept enough, then I will pour out revival. And revival is what heals the nation. It isn't our tears. It is the glory of God that heals the nation. But we pave the way for that healing through our tears. Why is the Antichrist able to come forth in this hour? It is because of the amount of innocent blood that has been shed. If they want more power, they simply shed more blood through wars, through abortion, through the dismantling of nations. When there's dismantling of nations, we're talking about not just things like wars. We're talking about people going hungry, children dying of starvation. what you see taking place in Haiti, what you see taking place in some places in Africa. If you were to go down into South America and take a real good look at some of the nations and what has transpired down there, it would be horrifying to you to know America has been part of that. Look at the way we destroyed Panama. Everywhere you look, the signs of the innocent blood and all of that is on the hands of America. It is a very, very serious thing. Satan loves it because that is how he gets his authority. And that is how the elite are getting their power to bring their diabolical plans into fruition. So how then can we set it back? How can we use the authority and power that has been given to us by God to set back this plan? It is through weeping and wailing. He says it right here in the book of Joel. Let's turn there for a second. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, chapter 2, verse 4. And the horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame, verse 5. A fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness or anxiety. And they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on their ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust upon another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded, and they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb up on the houses. They shall enter in the windows like a thief, and the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before this great army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and that's what I'm doing right now. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from the chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for the land and pity his people. What is our only hope? Weeping and wailing. Did he say to do it alone in your prayer closet? No. There is a time when you must call the solemn assembly. The people must come together to pray and weep and wail between the porch and the altar. Who is excluded? Not even the babes are excluded. The call goes out to everybody. This is a time of mourning, weeping, wailing before the Lord. If this agenda of the elite cannot be pushed back, it is because the church has not prayed enough. If we will pray, he will answer. We hold prayer meetings in this facility every Friday and Saturday morning. And it is terrible to me how few attend in light of the condition of this nation. What is wrong with the church? Why aren't people grief-stricken over the condition of this country? Why do they not see what is going on before their very eyes as they dismantle our Constitution, as they are destroying our economic base? Everything that they're touching, they're destroying. We vote people in and find out within minutes they were the wrong people. They're working harder than the people before them to destroy this nation. Now we've got a president in there telling us that America is no longer a Christian nation. Telling the world we're not going to support Israel. We're not a Christian nation anymore. Why doesn't that bring fear in the heart of the church? A fear that will get them on their knees praying, weeping, wailing before the throne of God, that he will intervene while there is still time. How many documents have to be signed? How many declarations have to be made before the Christian says, wait a minute, we're losing our nation. It's almost too late. Ministers are trying to hold large crusades for prayer, and it is amazing to me what one after another is canceling it because of lack of attendance. Where is the heart of the church wanting to hold on to God, wanting to believe God for intervention? Have we become so apathetic, so blind, so hard-hearted that we don't even realize that the very bread is being taken out of our mouths? And the only thing that can change it is crying, weeping, wailing before God. Are we so blind that we do not even know what to do in the hour of crises? Will we wait until it's too late? The Lord spoke to me in January. He said, I want you to get back out and do your gatherings. We didn't do gatherings last year because we were trying to work here in New Orleans. But he said, I want you to get back out and do what I've called you to do in the gatherings. Get back out and do the gatherings and do them now. Be diligent, because there is only a window of time left. If you cannot break this thing this year, you're going to lose it. We must pray. We must weep. We must cry out for our nation. These people are evil beyond anything you can imagine. And your tears will not affect them when they have their way. Your only hope is to pray to the God whose heart will be affected by your tears while there is still time. We're coming together again in the morning to pray. And I beg you, I beseech you, come. No matter how hard it is to get here, cancel everything. He even said, let the bride come out of her closet and the bridegroom out of his chamber. In other words, I don't care if you're getting ready to go get married. There is something more important. It is the salvation of your nation. Pray while there is still time. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes and open our heart, Lord. Help us to see. The window is closing. When it closes, there is no more hope. And the church will know sorrow upon sorrow, Lord. You told me that if we would obey, you would send revival, heal and strengthen your church before you would allow war to come to America. But Lord, if the church will not pray, then war will come to America without revival.
How is it that a man born of the Spirit of God cannot weep when your spirit is weeping? How is it that we can have so many things that are so important going on in our lives that we cannot weep for our nation when we see before our very eyes that we are a nation falling into the sea, unable to get back up? Our nation is dying at the hands of those who have no care for her. Oh, Lord Jesus, hear our cries, hear our pleas, as we beg for your mercy. Save your people. Save this nation. Lord, never before in the workings of this Illuminati have they had the nations of the earth rise up and begin to contest their work like what is happening now. You are starting to hear prayer, but more prayer is needed. Intervene. Intervene against these diabolical people, Lord, who have no heart, no care. All they care about is power. Their goal is to abolish a large portion of the human race, keeping just enough to serve their needs. They do not care for the American people. They don't care for the people of the world anywhere. But you are a caring and loving God, and you want to make a stand against this. You want to intervene while there is still time. If you can just get prayer out of your church. You are a good God, a gracious God, a merciful God, a powerful God. You are able. Lord, with these people sitting in these seats, I'm asking you to raise up people throughout this city to pray like they have never prayed before for this nation. Lord, raise up Christians throughout America to pray like they have never prayed before for this nation. We don't have much time. God of glory, God of goodness, God of mercy, God of grace, have mercy upon this nation who deserves none of your mercy, Lord. We don't deserve it. This nation has been so evil. Yet even so, you care for the ignorant and the erring, and you certainly care for your church. Make a way where there seems to be no way, Lord. Push back the hand of the Illuminati. Push back the hand of the Luciferian government, the one world order, the new world religion. Push it back. 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 Intervene. God, raise up a people. You said your eyes were traveling to and fro across the earth, Lord, looking for those who would stand in the gap. Give us grace to pray day and night until you have prevailed. Lord, we repent that we have not been a people of prayer according to the need. We repent that we have allowed too many things to take our time. Perhaps, Lord, we even thought for a moment they were important, very important, Lord. But in light of what's going to happen if we do not pray, suddenly they lose this great sense of importance for the sake of the greater. Intervene, Lord. Intervene according to your mercy. Bring people into the sanctuary, Lord, that want to pray. You said, and my house shall be called the house of prayer. Lord, I don't want a house that is not a house of prayer. For all nations, and we pray for the nations, Lord, for our heart breaks for the nations that have been blinded by this force and this power. Bring the people to Seattle, Lord, to the gathering. People that want to weep. People that want to cry. People that want to wail. People that want to stand in the gap for America. Lord, wherever you have intercessors in America, make a place for them to pray while there is still time.
Help us not to be like the foolish virgins, Lord, thinking that our oil is full when in fact we have gone to sleep. Help us to awaken, God, out of the deep stupor that our materialistic society has put us in. Help us to awaken, to sacrifice all for the sake of this nation. Great and wonderful are you, O God. You are holy, you are righteous, and you are just. But Lord, you are also merciful. And we look to your mercy.
Lord, you want to intervene. You told me that. You want to intervene if you can just have a people who will pray. Where are the weepers? Where are the mourners? Where are those who will sacrifice and come and spend time with you every day weeping over this nation?
Thank you for those who are here, Lord, tonight, and they're weeping. They hear your words and they believe them, Lord, and they're weeping. But moreover, they're weeping because they look to you and they trust you. They're horrified by the sins of this nation, but they trust in your mercy and in your grace. Thank you for helping us weep before you, Lord. Come and heal our land, Lord. Come and heal our land.
Heal America, Lord. It is not time for her to die. She is but a youth. She's like a teenager that has gone astray, Lord. It is not time for her to die. America! America, return to the Lord! America! Return to the Lord! America! Return to the Lord! Set the church in a battle array, Lord! The warring angels in battle array! Set the dogs are running, Lord. The bulls of Bashan, Lord, send them running.
Ora bashogal leato ela esukopana.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Great and terrible is the day of the Lord, but it will be on your day, not on Lucifer's. Heal our land. Send the glory. Send the fire of revival and heal America, Lord. Let your fire be poured out across the nations and heal the nations. Give us time, Lord. Hear the tears and the cry of your people, Lord. Save our nation. Heal our land. Raise up the people to pray, Lord. No longer a call for the intercessors, but those, Lord, the children, the babes, the bride, the groom, the priests, the ministers, the intercessors, Lord. All across the board, raise them up to pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, forgive our hardened hearts and help us to pray. In your precious name. Amen. Those of you who want to continue praying, please keep praying.